This month, you will see, and I just love the pictures I'm seeing, particularly from the US, and I'm hoping that when our turn comes, usually in our warmer months, when we see pride happening in South Africa, that we will see the same level of dynamism and exuberance around the 50 years since the Stonewall riot. So Stonewall happened in 1969 in New York. Stonewall Inn had a bar, and police came in there and literally violated the people who gathered there, who mostly were members of the LGBTQ community. And so for 3 days straight, there were these running riots and fights with police over three nights in June of 1969. And that kind of precipitated the movement. It started the movement for the rights of LGBTQ community, of the LGBTQ community. And the struggle began in earnest back then. So this is the 50th year since Stonewall. And when you look at the landmark ruling that was handed down in a Botswana High Court yesterday, I think it's quite a victory, because a high court there overturned a colonial era law which criminalized consensual same-sex relations after the case was brought by a 21-year-old. I looked at some of the comments made by activists there. One said, the high court is right in declaring that sodomy laws belong in a museum or the archives, not in modern life. And the judge had some great words to say that should echo right across this continent. He said, a democratic society is one that embraces tolerance, diversity and open-mindedness. This was Justice Michael Liburu, and he noted that discrimination laws or discriminatory laws not only serve as a detriment to the LGBTQ community, but it holds back all of society. So joining us for this conversation to reflect on all of these years of the struggle and some of the gains, and of course, looking to the next frontier in the coming years, since there have been wins over the past couple of years, is Bev Dietze, who is an activist and filmmaker. And she was recently honored at the Claremont Graduate University. She was issued an honorary doctorate for all the work that she has done in this space. Congratulations!
Congratulations.
It was so wonderful seeing those images of you it was your mom that was there, and some of your family members to take part in this occasion.
It's still incredible. I'm still, you know, adjusting to the title and what it means, mm-hmm. and I'm very honored.
Yes.
And thank you for having me on your show.
No, thank you for coming in to talk about a very important issue, I think, and one that speaks of how our society has transformed. I was relating some of the details of what happened in those Stonewall riots in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and that was a military approach from the state. Mm-hmm. But it was clear at the time that people were saying, the LGBTQ community were saying, were demanding respect and equality, and they said we're no longer going to ask for it or even try to educate the heterosexual population.
Well, I mean, in actual fact, it is about demanding dignity, mm-hmm. really. I mean, the level of discrimination that we still face, even with some of the laws that exist, robs you of your humanity and of your dignity as a human being. And I am very, very excited and happy about the ruling in Botswana. It is yet another step forward,
yes.
yet another country that has actually recognized the fact that as fellow human beings, penalizing people on the basis of their sexual orientation is actually quite preposterous.
It is. It absolutely is. I saw an expert over the weekend actually saying that the movement didn't call for equality per se, but rather argued for wide-scale social change that would eliminate many of the factors that caused inequality, such mm-hmm. as heterosexism, misogyny, racism, mm-hmm. and poverty. Mm-hmm. And I think when we get to these 50 years, I get goosebumps when we look back in hindsight and we mm-hmm. reflect on what that did mm-hmm. in transforming society.
Look, the Stonewall riots ultimately gave a lot of us a vision of what was possible.
Mm.
There was a time when we lived in all sorts of shame, which also allows for abuse, because if you are not free to be out and to be yourself, yeah. then your secrecy is something that can always be taken advantage of. Mm. And what the Stonewall riots did, it gave us an impetus. It inspired our first organization, GLOW, to also organized the first Pride March that happened not just in the country but on the continent.
Yeah.
And I do remember very clearly going to Stonewall 25 in New York 25 years ago. Yeah. Gosh, time flies. And going with my then mentor and, you know, co-chair of GLOW, Simon Nkodi, who has since passed, and being at the Stonewall celebrations and being in Stonewall in Greenwich Village at that bar, you know, and just feeling the sense of history.
Yes.
And also recognizing for myself, even then, what that occasion would ultimately mean for all of us.
Yes.
And that inspiration continues to grow even today.
Absolutely. And I want to also locate it on the continent as well, because we've also had our own turning points mm-hmm. in this country, mm-hmm. not just from a legislative perspective, but also in terms of events that have happened. Mm-hmm. When I think of Pride in the early days in this country, mm-hmm. people used to hide their identity. Mm-hmm. The costumes that they would wear, mm-hmm. many would be part of the festivities, part mm-hmm. of the celebrations, but would also conceal mm-hmm. their identities mm-hmm. because the environment just wasn't conducive.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now at a point where allies show up, where people express themselves in mm-hmm. the proudest, most mm-hmm. celebratory kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
That's progress when you think of it, even though we'll talk about the areas where there still needs to be some work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is absolutely. I mean, if you think about the first Pride March in Johannesburg started with, we were about 80 of us.
Hmm.
And in the beginning, in that hall, we were quite afraid because 80 people in a hall meant 80 people marching down the street. We were vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the less people there were, the more vulnerable. But as we marched, all of a sudden, more and more people started joining.
Mm.
And the more people that joined the march, we ended up at the park as 800 people. And that was the first one. Now we're going into the hundreds of thousands. And that is an incredible thing to see. But also the fact that you don't have just one Pride March that mm-hmm. is only targeted towards one population, but you have different kinds of awareness raising marches and parades that are going through different townships. It is quite incredible that we have the ability to do that in what is in essence a democratic country. It is unfortunate as well that obviously while society is seemingly embracing,
mm-hmm.
actually there's quite a lot more negative than there is positive.
Yes, yes. And we cannot neglect that. As groundbreaking as yesterday's court ruling in Botswana was, mm-hmm. there's still many more countries, including the likes of Kenya in 2019, the mm-hmm. full bench of judges coming down to say that they will maintain the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So the African LGBTQ movement and struggle, where's the frontier at the moment? Because we still even have to talk about the law.
I think what we neglect to understand is that while you have on the one hand a law that is meant to be protecting all minorities and all people in a democratic society, you also have attitudes
yes.
that are on the ground that continue to prevail.
Mm.
And unfortunately, social justice is something that is a little bit more difficult to deal with, because while we can overturn a law and while the law itself can be upheld, you still have attitudes on the ground where people do not change how they feel. But it's not even just how they feel,
yeah.
but it is the violence that is meted against the very innocent people who have done absolutely nothing to any individual mm. that is being attacked.
Mm.
And the attacks continue.
Mm.
The attacks are increasing. The attacks towards transgender people, the attacks towards the non-binary, the attacks towards anyone that is not fitting into a binary that fits into a status quo.
Yeah.
The levels of attacks continue to increase on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So while we as South Africa have a constitution and a bill of rights that is meant to protect all of us, we don't even have access to this constitution.
Mm.
So there's a lot for me that not just Botswana, but Botswana and Angola and the countries that have actually repealed these archaic
yes.
laws can learn, is that while you may have a law that is there to protect, or at least a law that decriminalizes
mm-hmm.
you as a human being,
mm-hmm.
right? The attitudes on the ground needs to be dealt with. And that for me is the next frontier.
Right.
Because if you think about it, if you're thinking Nigeria, if you're thinking Uganda, if you're thinking Tanzania, mm-hmm. mob justice that is happening, it in its ignorance stems from people not even willing to know or understand who we are or what we're about.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about what Ben Okri said. He said that those who have had injustice perpetrated on them, who have suffered unbelievable variations of humiliation and brutality, ought to have a special light and vision on the nature of justice. Mm-hmm. And I think as Africans and the things that we have been through, surely why would we want to deny justice to others when we know what it is to be denied justice?
It is fascinating. It is sometimes the most oppressed people that turn around and be the ones who are most oppressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a fascinating aspect of human nature, I think.
Absolutely true. So freedom in some ways is an overture. It's an overture, but it does not mean that the lived realities of people will change. What do we need to do? What is the social justice work, change in attitude work that needs to happen? And with the lessons of the past 50 years, there's a lot to draw from and perhaps even improve on in terms of the present day.
I think that we need to go back to the very tenets of what makes us who we are, and it's our humanity.
Mm.
And I think the more we dehumanize each other, the more it gets easier to then demonize and then to attack. The names that we call each other when we don't agree with each other, for example, we are becoming very violent towards each other with the words that we use. When we do not understand something, the very first knee-jerk reaction is to then act violently towards it, mm-hmm. or to even speak violence towards what you don't understand. I think we just need to go straight back to being human beings. And I think this is across the board, across race, across gender, across all of that. I mean, poverty is being criminalized,
yeah.
where people who have no access to absolutely anything are being criminalized for not having access.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lack of humanity there, you know? Mm-hmm. And that has always been a very big concern of mine, is that when a personal attack happens and it's face to face, that person needs to rob you of your humanity in order for them to be able to act violently towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is rape. This is the violence. This is racial violence.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of it. This is when a man beats a woman, they dehumanize you. You're no longer a human being. You're an object.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to really get back to, as a people, who are we? If we are not humane and treating each other in a humane way,
yeah.
then what are we reducing ourselves to? Where's the world going if we are not able to recognize each other's humanity? That, I think, is going to be the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's the challenge that's going to stop the wars that we see, the conflict that is happening all around the world. There's all this surge for power, this hunger for power.
Yeah.
And there's this bloodlust that is going on that is unfortunate, and it is terrible, and it is horrible.
And it tears society apart.
Yes, and also we think we are immune.
Mm.
I think that's the thing, is that
because we have the laws in place.
We have the laws in place.
Or there's places that can be deemed to be safe spaces, and we think we're immune.
We think we're immune. What astounds me is how history continues to repeat itself.
Exactly, because when you look at what's happening in the U.S., administrations can change. When you look at the U.S., previous rights that were put in place are now being threatened. People's civil liberties are being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think that, yes, we had made these gains,
mm-hmm.
and they will forever be permanent,
mm-hmm.
That would be resting on our laurels, mm-hmm. because administrators change.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And it's very interesting also that people on the ground also change their own tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going with the wind wherever the wind goes. I am astounded by some of the gains that we have had, but
yeah.
I'm also astounded by how we also continue to backtrack into some oblivious place. We are in 2019. We should know better.
Absolutely. You know, when I was thinking about this conversation, I think the gift that Stonewall and the activism has gifted the world is actually a more inclusive society.
Yes.
When the movement overall, to you, what is the role and the contribution that it's actually gifted society? And for me, inclusion and diversity is one of those gifts. Corporates are considering having these conversations,
mm-hmm.
and looking at how they can better or mm-hmm. become more inclusive and diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Black people benefit, women benefit, LGBTQ members benefit, mm-hmm. people with disabilities benefit. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it, in a way, it's one of the most, it's a great gift mm-hmm. to society.
Absolutely. Look, it is the recognition that we are all human
mm-hmm.
and that we are all members of one society of human. We are all the same.
Yes.
Literally, at the core, at the heart of it all, we all want the same things. Security, mm. love,
yes.
happiness.
And there's a link, isn't there, between the women's struggle and the LGBTQ struggle.
And I think at the core of it is the recognition that patriarchy is actually causing havoc on the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's as simple as that. Let's put things where they
belong. Yeah, I feel like you're holding back. She's like,
No, I mean, you know, one has to be considered sometimes,
yeah.
you know, but it is in actual fact when you look at it, if you are going to link the two struggles, we're talking hypermasculinity and toxic masculinity that is in actual fact wreaking havoc on the world.
Mm-hmm. And yet, this isn't one, it's not about attacking men. It's
no.
about saying, this is
no,
about my is, dignity
no,
and
no,
my rights.
Absolutely.
And yet the reaction is that masculinity is being attacked. Or
it's not masculinity that, no, it is not masculinity or males
mm-hmm.
that are being questioned, that are being, want, that we want to be, to hold account. No, it is the hypermasculinity,
mm-hmm.
it is the toxic masculinity, it is the meaning of that and how it translates to my life, to me, and to you, Azania,
mm-hmm.
and to everybody else who is not fitting into the status quo of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is power and dominance.
Right. And yet it then becomes your job to draw people into a conversation.
Absolutely.
Which is preposterous.
And that is how power and dominance operates. It's the same with racism. If you're racist, particularly your white racist people, refuse to look at me and see a human being with dignity who is equal in every single way to them, we cannot even expect the others to not do the same. All of it is about power and dominance.
Mm.
And once you begin to undo the power and the dominance, then we begin to see each other as equal human beings in a society that we should, in actual fact, all enjoy our freedoms to just be.
Yes. Do you get tired?
All the time.
I think of a friend who works for the other foundation, and he returned from Durban yesterday from a dialogue with church leaders, and they held a dialogue last mm-hmm. year and the mm-hmm. year before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was saying about you then needing to be the ones drawing people mm-hmm. into a conversation and saying,
mm-hmm.
please understand me, mm-hmm. which is insane.
Unfortunately, it's what we have to do.
Yeah.
We get tired, yes, we get jaded. I feel like I in every attempt, I have done all types of different work, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. And the idea is constant, because if we don't continue to create awareness and to engage each other across the divide,
mm-hmm.
if we don't continue to do that, then we are sliding into some kind of anarchy where the only thing left is violence.
Mm. Sure.
So we cannot stop, no matter how tired we are. As activists, if we're going to call ourselves that, and I don't mean, you know, activists for pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the heart of it, if you're an activist and your issues are social justice, then no matter how tired we are, we cannot stop.
Yes, yes. Storytelling is a great tool.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where my concentration has been in the last few years, where I keep getting asked, where have you been? Well, actually, I'm in the credits. I am right throughout the years, pretty much every other big, particularly because my forte is in documentary and reality, I'm in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit tight and watch the credits. You'll see that I've been around.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel like I have a bigger impact with some of the work that I do behind the camera than I do, you know, in front of a microphone talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because then ultimately, if we're talking about attitude change, then you want to create visuals that are recognized, where people recognize each other as
yes.
fellow human beings.
Yes.
And so one of the, you know, past shows that I've just done now had a gay couple that was having a big fight and a broken heart involved.
Mm-hmm.
It got to a point where people were saying to me, I even forgot that they were gay.
Right.
Because the drama and the story is something that unites all of us, that we all have in common, is he cheated and I'm heartbroken. What am I, a fool?
Mm-hmm.
This is a universal theme. Mm-hmm. We all recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, there's a bigger impact in how we share and tell our stories.
Yes.
And that's where my passion actually lies, is in media. Because it is media that also has had the negative effects on us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
It is the media, and Cordy, who has since passed, mm-hmm. and being at the Stonewall celebrations and being in Stonewall in Greenwich Village at that bar, you know, and just feeling the sense of history.
Yes.
And also recognizing for myself, even then, what that occasion would ultimately mean for all of us.
Yes.
And that inspiration continues to grow even today.
Absolutely. And I want to also locate it on the continent as well, because we've also had our own turning points mm-hmm. in this country,
mm-hmm.
not just from a legislative perspective, but also in terms of events that have happened. Mm-hmm. When I think of Pride in the early days in this country, mm-hmm. people used to hide their identity.
Mm-hmm.
The costumes that they would wear, mm-hmm. many would be part of the festivities, part mm-hmm. of the celebrations, but would also conceal mm-hmm. their identities mm-hmm. because the environment just wasn't conducive.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now at a point where allies show up, where people express themselves in mm-hmm. the proudest, most mm-hmm. celebratory kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
That's progress when you think of it, even though we'll talk about the areas where there still needs to be some work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is absolutely. I mean, if you think about the first Pride March in Johannesburg, started with, we were about 80 of us.
Hmm.
And in the beginning, in that hall, we were quite afraid, because 80 people in a hall meant 80 people marching down the street. We were vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the less people there were, the more vulnerable. But as we marched, all of a sudden, more and more people started joining.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people that joined the march, we ended up at the park as 800 people. And that was the first one. Now we're going into the hundreds of thousands. And that is an incredible thing to see. But also the fact that you don't have just one Pride March that mm-hmm. is only targeted towards one population, but you have different kinds of awareness raising marches and parades that are going through different townships. It is quite incredible that we have the ability to do that in what is in essence a democratic country. It is unfortunate as well that obviously while society is seemingly embracing,
mm-hmm.
actually there's quite a lot more negative than there is positive.
Yes, yes. And we cannot neglect that. As groundbreaking as yesterday's court ruling in Botswana was, mm-hmm. there's still many more countries, including the likes of Kenya in 2019, the mm-hmm. full bench of judges coming down to say that they will maintain the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So the African LGBTQ movement and struggle, where's the frontier at the moment? Because we still even have to talk about the law.
I think what we neglect to understand is that while you have on the one hand a law that is meant to be protecting all minorities and all people in a democratic society, you also have attitudes
yes.
that are on the ground that continue to prevail.
Mm.
And unfortunately, social justice is something that is a little bit more difficult to deal with, because while we can overturn a law and while the law itself can be upheld, you still have attitudes on the ground where people do not change how they feel. But it's not even just how they feel,
yeah.
but it is the violence that is meted against the very innocent people who have done absolutely nothing to any individual mm-hmm. that is being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And the attacks continue.
Mm.
The attacks are increasing. The attacks towards transgender people, the attacks towards the non-binary, the attacks towards anyone that is not fitting into a binary that fits into a status quo.
Yeah.
The levels of attacks continue to increase on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So while we as South Africa have a constitution and a bill of rights that is meant to protect all of us, we don't even have access to this constitution.
Mm.
So there's a lot for me that not just Botswana, but Botswana and Angola and the countries that have actually repealed these archaic
yes.
laws can learn, is that while you may have a law that is there to protect, or at least a law that decriminalizes
mm-hmm.
you as a human being,
mm-hmm.
right? the attitudes on the ground needs to be dealt with. And that, for me, is the next frontier.
Right.
Because if you think about it, if you're thinking Nigeria, if you're thinking Uganda, if you're thinking Tanzania, mm-hmm. mob justice that is happening, it in its ignorance, stems from people not even willing to know or understand who we are or what we are about.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about what Ben Okri said. He said that those who have had injustice perpetrated on them, who have suffered unbelievable variations of humiliation and brutality, ought to have a special light and vision on the nature of justice. Mm-hmm. And I think as Africans and the things that we have mm-hmm. been through, surely why would we want to deny justice to others when we know what it is to be denied justice?
It is fascinating. It is sometimes the most oppressed people that turn around and be the ones who are most oppressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a fascinating aspect of human nature, I think.
Mm, absolutely true. So freedom in some ways is an overture. It's an overture, but it does not mean that the lived realities of people will change. What do we need to do? What is the social justice work, change in attitude work that needs to happen? And with the lessons of the past 50 years, there's a lot to draw from and perhaps even improve on in terms of the present day.
I think that we need to go back to the very tenets of what makes us who we are, and it's our humanity.
Mm.
And I think the more we dehumanize each other, the more it gets easier to then demonize and then to attack. The names that we call each other when we don't agree with each other, for example, we are becoming very violent towards each other with the words that we use. When we do not understand something, the very first knee-jerk reaction is to then act violently towards it, mm-hmm. or to even speak violence towards what you don't understand. I think we just need to go straight back to being human beings. And I think this is across the board, across race, across gender, across all of that. I mean, poverty is being criminalized,
yeah.
where people who have no access to absolutely anything are being criminalized for not having access.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lack of humanity there, you know? Mm-hmm. And that has always been a very big concern of mine, is that when a personal attack happens and it's face to face, that person needs to rob you of your humanity in order for them to be able to act violently towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is rape. This is the violence. This is racial violence.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of it. This is when a man beats a woman, they dehumanize you. You're no longer a human being. You're an object.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to really get back to, as a people, who are we? If we are not humane and treating each other in a humane way,
yeah.
then what are we reducing ourselves to? Where is the world going if we are not able to recognize each other's humanity? That, I think, is going to be the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's the challenge that's going to stop the wars that we see, the conflict that is happening all around the world. There's all this surge for power, this hunger for power.
Yeah.
And there's this bloodlust that is going on that is unfortunate, and it is terrible, and it is horrible.
And it tears society apart.
Yes, and also we think we are immune.
Mm.
I think that's the thing, is that
because we have the laws in place.
We have the laws in
place. Or there's places that can be deemed to be safe spaces, and we think we're immune.
We think we're immune. Mm. What astounds me is how history continues to repeat itself.
Exactly, because when you look at what's happening in the U.S., administrations can change. When you look at the U.S., previous rights that were put in place are now being threatened. People's civil liberties are being
mm-hmm.
threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think that, yes, we had made these gains
mm-hmm.
and they will forever be permanent,
mm-hmm.
That would be resting on our laurels
mm-hmm.
because administrators change.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And it's very interesting also that people on the ground also change their own tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going with the wind wherever the wind goes. I am astounded by some of the gains that we have had, but
yeah.
I'm also astounded by how we also continue to backtrack into some oblivious place. We are in 2019. We should know better.
Absolutely. You know, when I was thinking about this conversation, I think the gift that Stonewall and the activism has gifted the world is actually a more inclusive society. Yes. When the movement overall, to you, what is the role and the contribution that it's actually gifted society? And for me, inclusion and diversity is one of those gifts. Corporates are considering these, are having these conversations mm-hmm. and looking at how they can better or mm-hmm. become more inclusive and diverse. Mm-hmm. Whether black people benefit, women benefit, LGBTQ members benefit, mm-hmm. people with disabilities benefit. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It, in a way, it's one of the most, it's a great gift mm-hmm. to society.
Absolutely. Look, it is the recognition that we are all human
mm-hmm.
and that we are all members of one society of human. We are all the same.
Yes.
Literally, at the core, at the heart of it all, we all want the same things. Security, mm. love,
yes.
happiness.
And there's a link, isn't there, between the women's struggle and the LGBTQ struggle.
And I think at the core of it is the recognition that patriarchy is actually causing havoc on the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's as simple as that. Let's put things where they
belong. Yeah, I feel like you're holding back. She's like,
No, I mean, you know, one has to be considered sometimes,
yeah.
you know, but it is in actual fact when you look at it, if you are going to link the two struggles, we're talking hypermasculinity and toxic masculinity that is in actual fact wreaking havoc on the world.
Mm-hmm. And yet, this isn't one, it's not about attacking men. It's
no.
about saying, this is
no,
about my is, dignity
no,
and
no,
my
no,
rights.
Absolutely.
And yet the reaction is that masculinity is being attacked. Or
No, it's not masculinity.
Males are being attacked.
No, it is not masculinity or males
mm-hmm.
that are being questioned, that are being, want, that we want to be, to hold account. No, it is the hypermasculinity,
mm-hmm.
it is the toxic masculinity, it is the meaning of that and how it translates to my life, to me, and to you, Azania,
mm-hmm.
and to everybody else who is not fitting into the status quo of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is power and dominance.
Right. And yet it then becomes your job to draw people into a conversation.
Absolutely.
Which is preposterous.
And that is how power and dominance operates. It's the same with racism.
Entitled.
If you're racist, particularly your white racist people, refuse to look at me and see a human being with dignity who is equal in every single way to them, we cannot even expect the others to not do the same. All of it is about power and dominance.
Mm.
And once you begin to undo the power and the dominance, then we begin to see each other as equal human beings in a society that we should, in actual fact, all enjoy our freedoms to just be.
Yes. Do you get tired?
All the time.
I think of a friend who works for the other foundation, and he returned from Durban yesterday from a dialogue with church leaders, and they held a dialogue last mm-hmm. year and the mm-hmm. year before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was saying about you then needing to be the ones drawing people mm-hmm. into a conversation and saying,
mm-hmm.
please understand me, mm-hmm. which is insane.
Unfortunately, it's what we have to do.
Yeah.
We get tired, yes. We get jaded. I feel like I in every attempt, I have done all types of different work, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. And the idea is constant, because if we don't continue to create awareness and to engage each other across the divide,
mm-hmm.
if we don't continue to do that, then we are sliding into some kind of anarchy where the only thing left is violence.
Mm. Sure.
So we cannot stop, no matter how tired we are. As activists, if we're going to call ourselves that, and I don't mean, you know, activists for pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the heart of it, if you're an activist and your issues are social justice, then no matter how tired we are, we cannot stop.
Yes, yes. Storytelling is a great tool.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where my concentration has been in the last few years, where I keep getting asked, where have you been? Well, actually, I'm in the credits. I am right throughout the years, pretty much every other big, particularly because my forte is in documentary and reality, I'm in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit tight and watch the credits. You'll see that I've been around.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel like I have a bigger impact with some of the work that I do behind the camera than I do, you know, in front of a microphone talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because then ultimately, if we're talking about attitude change, then you want to create visuals that are recognized, where people recognize each other as fellow human beings.
Yes.
And so one of the, you know, past shows that I've just done now had a gay couple that was having a big fight and a broken heart involved. Mm. It got to a point where people were saying to me, I even forgot that they were gay.
Right.
Because the drama and the story is something that unites all of us, that we all have in common, is he cheated and I'm heartbroken. What am I, a fool?
Mm-hmm.
This is a universal theme. Mm-hmm. We all recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, there's a bigger impact in how we share and tell our stories.
Yes.
And that's where my passion actually lies, is in media, because it is media that also has had the negative effects on us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
It is the media in how we are depicted.
Yes, caricatured.
And how we are caricatured. Yes. It is in those spaces where consumers of media have been looking at and basing all their opinions.
Right.
And some of it has not been correct.
Yes. Sure.
And so my job is to also then counter that.
Yes, through storytelling. I think that there are many ways of dealing with this issue, with educating and, of course, transforming society. Let's not tire. I cannot wait for our Pride marches this year.
Absolutely.
I hope they have the same kind of exuberance, dynamism, and just a celebratory, the kind of celebration we're mm-hmm. seeing elsewhere. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations once more.
You, much appreciated. In how we are depicted.
Yes, caricatured.
And how we are caricatured. Yes. It is in those spaces where consumers of media have been looking at and basing all their opinions.
Right.
And some of it has not been correct.
Yes. Sure.
And so my job is to also then counter that.
Yes, through storytelling. I think that there are many ways of dealing with this issue, with educating and, of course, transforming society. Let's not tire. I cannot wait for our Pride marches this year.
Absolutely.
I hope they have the same kind of exuberance, dynamism, and just a celebratory, the kind of celebration we're mm-hmm. seeing elsewhere. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations once more.
You, much appreciated.